Welcome to the forecast. To my right, we have AP18. Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everyone.
And to my left, we have G-Dub. Garrett, how you doing?
Doing swell.
This is the Wednesday Comics Forecast. Telling you the comic book's coming out for June 13, 2018. We established before the show, that's called Friday the 13th. Friday, Alex?
Of course, Friday the 13th.
Any 13th day, it just becomes Friday the 13th. You can't get away from it. You know, on buildings, right? They don't have level 13. They take it out? Are they still do that, or is that we passed?
I didn't know if it was all buildings. I knew hotels didn't have it.
Oh, okay. So you can't stay on level 13. Well, you know what? 13 in some religions is a good and lucky number, like this week in terms of comics. Image Comics to start with here. Analog number 3. This is Jerry Duggan and David O'Sullivan, chapter 3 of Analog. Garrett, you're still getting Analog. What do you think? Excited for this third part?
Yes, I am. I really enjoyed issue 2. I think it was almost better than issue 1. We're getting more information about this kind of like digital age where they're still trying to like do things the old-fashioned way. And it's a lot of fun. I do think, you know, Jerry Duggan said this character is like John McClane mixed with, he's like the big action hero. And I can see it. Like, he's kind of funny and witty. He's also a badass. But, you know, he just runs into, like, bad shit all the time. So I do enjoy this book. I think the art is really great.
I think when I read issue 2, if I like it, I would get it just for the fact to keep saying John McClane. But I also have that sneaking suspicion that you keep saying he's like John McClane, and I'm going to read it, and it's going to be like he's Pee Wee Herman. And I'm
just like... Big Bertha. Bloodstrike number 0. This is Michael Fife, and Michael Fife also doing the art. Brutalist part 1 in the spirit of Bloodstrike's groundbreaking carnage, creator behind the indie hit Cobra, shines a light on Image's most extreme series. Witness the origin of Cabot as he launches his undead strike force upon the world. This is a new 0. This is an old series. Not old series. You know, they've been doing these kind of reboots on these series, right? Youngblood, Bloodstrike. So this is one also, if you read Image in the 90s, it's coming back. You read this. Is anybody interested in checking this out at all?
No.
This seems like it's Garrett all over. You're not going to check it out, Garrett?
No. I'm good with just like Youngblood right now and like Witchblade. I don't think Bloodstrike really interested me. It just seems like I don't recognize one character on that roster that was like, oh, I need to read this. Whereas in Youngblood, I've seen some of those characters before.
And I think one thing, it'd be different if this book came out on a different week where I was open to the possibility of going, oh, I got only 10 books this week. I could get another one. I have too many books. I mean, even more than normal. To my books, this is even on my radar of let's try this number 0.
Dead Hand number 3. This is Kyle Higgins and Stephen Mooney. Cold War Relics part 3. A new spy set his sights on Mountain View. Roger's secret is revealed. Harriet refuses to trust the killers that surround her. Alex, you caught up with Dead Hand?
Nope, still one behind.
Garrett, you caught up with Dead Hand?
Absolutely, I am.
How's number 2 compared to number 1?
Compared to number 1, I think that rather than kind of give you that, like, all those shocking cliffhanger, like, secret stuff where you're, like, trying to get used to this book, I think this one's kind of fleshing out some more characters. You got a new character in the second issue that, like, is really interesting, so I'm excited to see how she plays a role in this third issue. I just like the, like, time period they're trying to tell it in. And how much like that town is like freaking out about this random reporter coming in and being like, he brings up the dead hand, and that's they all like bug eye and they're like, did you just say the dead hand? And then instantly they're like, knock this guy the fuck out. So, it's fun. I just love that Cold War era or anything relating to it. So this is really exciting and fun for me.
Is this just a 6-issue run, or is that actually an ongoing book?
It was promised as a 6-issue in the beginning, but I'm not sure if it's staying, because it doesn't say of 6.
Yeah, I thought it was a mini. That's what I thought too. But also, I don't think was Hadrian's Wall ever? Did it ever say of 6? Or
no, that was 9 issues.
Yeah, I don't think that ever said like how many it was either. So I think Kyle Higgins just runs it. I don't know. They never put that.
I think it's kind of like a pilot for TV. Like they're going to see how that first arc works, and if people really dig it, they're like, okay, now we'll get a couple extra issues.
Dry County number 4. This is Rich Tomaso, and he also has the art on there. Things become difficult for Lou as he loses his job, which cuts off his comic strip communication with Janet or her kidnapper. This is the 4th entry into Dry County. This also, I think this is also a miniseries. Two questions here. I know, Alex, you're probably not caught up, right?
Nope, still one behind.
Garrett, do you still enjoy this series? One. And two, on the cover, is that a drawing to me?
Okay. To answer your first question, I think it's still okay. I feel, you know, it says like it's a crime story, and I barely feel that. And I don't think that's really the point, that this is a crime story. I think it's more like a love story, if you will. The art is really great. The writing style is really good. I think the overall plot, starting to get bored. Like, I'm like, I didn't think the chemistry between him and that female character was such on fire that I'm like, oh God, he needs to find her and tell her that he loves her. He needs to find her and solve this mystery. I'm more just kind of like, sure, if you want, I guess. So I don't know. I'm not digging it as much as I did at the beginning.
What about my second question?
Oh, does that look like you? I mean, yeah, you do wear long socks with those high heel shoes. So
you don't usually work in the corner, I guess.
The fix. You do look like you need some Christmas spirit on that cover.
The fix number 12 is an expense of Steve Lieber. Roy has a plan. Pretty cool cover here. Alex, The Fix hasn't been out in a while. When's the last time an issue came out?
It's been at least 3 months.
Are you caught up?
Not longer than that. I am caught up on it because we talked about something happened in issue 11 that was actually kind of sad. One of our favorite characters, I believe, moved on to a different existence, maybe like the astral plane. It's good. This book is really good. I wish it actually came out a little more consistently. You know, all that BS and all that shit I talked about. I realize BS is bullshit, but all that shit that I talked about Nick Spencer, this man knows how to write a good book. It's just Secret Empire may not have been his bread and butter. This book is actually very well written, has its good, funny moments, and sometimes it's fairly disgusting, and that's funny in itself.
I Hate Fairyland, number 19, Scotty Young with Scotty Young. And now, another unequivocal issue of Gert in Space. When we last left our struggling starlet, Gertrude was stuck in an infinite fantasy hell loop of her own making. Meanwhile, Fairyland favorites Lettery and Duncan Dragon possess a desperate dream and awake a demonic deliverable in their last-ditch effort to clear the skies of an imposing and oppressive darkness. Alex, 19 issues in, I Hate Fairyland. How's it going?
I love this book, and I think a lot of it has to do with Scotty Young writes and does the art for it, and this the child or the kid art that he does is so strong and so fluid, and actually pretty gross as well, because there's a good chunk of blood. This may be one of my favorite books artistically, and it actually makes me laugh out loud, which is a big deal to me, since I am such a, you know, a crabby person normally. To have something, you know, even break that stoic grin on my face and make me smile, it actually makes me happy to read this book.
The Magic Order, number 1. This is Mark Miller and Olivia Coppell. Oh, Coppell's doing the art on this? I don't know that. We live in a world where we've never seen a monster, and the Magic Order is the reason we sleep safely in our beds. Magic meets the mob in the Magic Order as 5 families of magicians sworn to protect our world from generations must battle an enemy who's picking them off one by one. By day, they live among us as our neighbors, friends, and coworkers, but by night, they are sorcerers, magicians, and wizards that protect us from the forces of darkness unless the darkness gets them first. Mark Miller, he goes by, first Netflix comic book drawn by Olivia Coppell. You know what? So I'm going to ask Gary here in a second what he thinks about this, but this cover is pretty sweet, I'm going to say. Adam Hughes' cover. Coppell, I didn't know was on this book. That interested me also on that. But it says here, by night, they're sorcerers, magicians, and wizards. Garrett, doesn't magician seem like a step down from those other two? Like, isn't
what do you mean?
Magicians like plays tricks, unless you actually have magic.
They're an illusionist instead of where a sorcerer and a wizard would actually have a magical supernatural ability.
But I think they're thinking more of like current. You know, a magician is like a wizard in modern times. So yes, they're all about sleight of hand, and like, you know, they're trying to mystify the crowd. They're not necessarily trying to create illusions, but I think that's also under the belt of a magician. So it's just not your main focus.
So what do you think? Netflix getting into the comic game. How do you think it's going to be?
I am excited for this. I think it is going to be good. I mean, that team already, by Elise Coypel's arts, I'm like, yes. Mark Miller writing, I'm kind of like, sure. I mean, like, I haven't seen him write anything that was like blowing my mind lately. Like, I guess Empress would be the last thing. But I don't know if I'm a big fan of like Netflix's. They're trying to do like only one print only of this comic, I heard, like to get people to like kind of value print comics again. And that kind of makes me sketchy because like, I'm like, that's just not how it's done. But I mean, I guess if you want to try that, sure. I mean, it almost prompts me to get it digitally.
Yeah, because like, what if your shop doesn't get it and then you're never going to get it?
Right, exactly.
And then it's miss out on it
for to no order reason. It, it's going to be like $500. Be like, well, there's only 500 copies in the whole world, so good luck.
Holy shit.
No, they're only doing a first printing. They're not doing
I know we talked about it on the show before. It just surprised me. That does seem ridiculous. That's one of the sell values. I mean, all those Thanos books that you had to get caught up on, you wouldn't have been able to get them unless you either are willing to spend the money to get those first prints, or you buy the second printing or third printing or fourth or whatever number it's at.
I have a feeling, Garrett, they want to push digital because they're a digital entity, and that at some point, it's not ready now, but I think the reason why they bought Miller World and why, I mean, he's there to make comics that they could turn into TV shows. And you know, this is kind of like a test to see how popular this will be so they can turn this into a show or something sort of thing. But I think eventually they'll start putting extra, like you'll be able to read these comics on their service. And I think maybe that's why.
Oh, on Netflix?
Yeah, I think they would say first print, first run, and after that, you have to buy Netflix to read it. So,
especially when that DC comes out, they're going to be like, oh, we have that too.
Yeah, so I just think they're testing the waters in a lot of things. And you know what? This actually looks pretty cool. And
it does look fun.
I told you guys before the show that I wasn't going to read it, but maybe I'll read it. So we'll see. Oblivion Song, Kirkman by Kirkman, Robert Kirkman, and Lorenzo De Filippo. That was giving me to read that thing. I don't know why. Number four. Alex, what do you think? Oblivion Song. We talked about three on the show, didn't we? They're going deeper into the Oblivion, and I know you weren't a fan of for the last issue. What do you think about four?
You know, since issue one's been the only issue, I'm like, yes, I actually enjoyed this book. Am I excited to get this? Not really. And I think I'm almost on that gist of dropping off. I'll look through it. I may still get it just for the fact that I think you guys are still on it. So it makes me more excited. Like, okay, I can be on this Kirkman book, but I'm just not, it's not doing. I'm trying to live issue to issue, and every issue I've read other than issue one has not really refreshed me and made me go, yes, this is a strong book. So I don't know.
I think I just love it for the fact that it is a monster book. And yes, like I've told you before, he does extremely slow burns, and there's one issue where everything just goes off like you're having a high, basically. And I'm willing to wait for that payoff because, A, tell me that another monster book that's coming out right now that's going to be consistent monthly, at least for a year. You won't find one. And I think like I do like the main character, Nathan Drake. I think he does have reasons, like motivations.
I don't think it's Drake. Nathan Drake is from Uncharted.
Oh, what's the guy's name? Cole. Nathan Cole. Cole. Whatever. So I screwed up. Nathan. There's a lot of Nathans in the world. But I do enjoy the book. I think the art style itself is something very, like, original and fun to look at when it's in this context.
I think I'm in the middle here. I think we talked about this last time we reviewed it. I am with Alex, but I think I have a little patience knowing that Kirkman takes his time. But if at the end of the arc, like, it's still not really what I want it to be, I think I will drop it at the arc. But we'll see. I mean, like Gary was saying, sometimes usually a lot of things, like, they live for that arc. And then at the end, you're like, oh, I got to read the next one. So we'll see.
I think I'm willing to give the arc, so at least I assume 1 to 2 more issues. but I'm just, I don't know. It's, I think it's one of those things I'm expecting this big to do, and I'm going to get to the end of the arc, and it's going to be like, oh yeah, here's the tiny little cliffhanger that you're supposed to be like jaw dropped at, and I'm just gonna be like, oh, okay. Whoop-de-do.
Proxima Centauri, Pharrell Jerome Plint. I don't know, I'm not sure how to say your name, sorry. Part 1, 4.243 light years from Earth, the teenage wizard adventurer Sherwood Redcoat is stuck in a confronting spectral zone and the manufactured dimensional sphere Proxima Centauri, looking for an escape and a way back to his brother while dealing with his confusing emotions, alien creatures, and all sorts of unknown fantastic dangers. In this issue, the scientist H. Duke sent Sherwood on a salvage mission and gives Consul to Trouble Boy in his charge. So a new number one there. This sounds really weird. I'm not going to try it out. Any of you guys can try this out?
No.
Not on this week. Hell no.
Yeah, a lot of number ones this week, actually, by the way. Which is, I mean, I don't know why they chose second week in July or June. But there is, and speaking of which, Stellar number one, usually number one, Joseph Kennedge and Brett Belvedge. Stellar was taken as a child and transformed into the ultimate weapon, one that would end an intergalactic war. She succeeded at everything except finding peace. Reduced to a bounty hunter, she scours the world she's broken, searching for redemption. But there are other weapons loose in the galaxy who just can't leave the war behind them. Gary, are you going to try out Stellar number one?
No.
Big week. So, I mean,
no interest. Yeah, with so much coming out, this issue one is going to be like a fart in the wind for me. Like, I read the preview, too, and I thought it was, like, not a good preview. And so it's just going to be blown over with all the other books.
Gary, we don't say that word on this show.
Say what? Yeah. Fart? farty fart fart fart.
Weatherman number one. This is Jody Lahimp and Nathan Fox on art. Nathan Bright has it all. There's no Nathan for you, Garen. An awesome girlfriend, a kick-ass dog, and a job as the number one weatherman at Transformed Mars. When he's accused, didn't I read this already? Oh, you did on our.
That's what we've talked about before.
We talked about on our show about books coming out in June that are brand new, and here's one of them here. Weatherman. It sounds like it's going to be like it's from the writer of Shirtless Bear Fighter. Dave Stewart's doing the colors here. It just seems widescreen science epic, so it's going to be widescreen format, looks like. It just seems like it's going to be crazy. And Alex, our weatherman here on WC news station, he knows about the weather that he's relating. That might be Alex on the cover for all I know. I don't know. He's been doing some things with third parties here, so... this actually, it looks pretty cool, and I think I might, you know, flip through it. There's a lot of books this week, so I got to make choices. But Alex, what do you think?
This is, I mean, obviously being the weatherman of the WC News, of course I have to get this book. I mean, I got to support other weathermen. Look at this guy, how dedicated he is on cover B, standing in blood rain. Way to go.
But you're all for him being a weatherman in space?
You know what?
I don't like space that much.
Shut up. I was just going to tell you right now, I've learned being a comic book reader, you know what? You got to open your mind. You got to not be so logical about stuff, Garrett.
It only took you 5 years.
I think I'm going to give at least this issue one a try just to see what it is.
You're going to read that and you're going to be like, too much space.
This is stupid shit.
DC Comics, this week we have Batman and Prelude to the Wedding, Batgirl versus Riddler number one. Tim Seeley and Maku Jung on art there. On the eve of Batman's wedding to Catwoman, two of Gotham City's finest minds clash. In her role as Oracle, Barbara Gordon wires all her allies together. But when the Riddler takes on Batgirl, will he tear everything asunder? Gary, you're getting all these, right?
Yep, I am.
And what do you think? Have you read any so far?
I read part one, which was Robin Race versus Ra's al Ghul, yeah. And then I have not read the Nightwing versus Hush.
Was the first one good?
I thought the first one was good. I think that it's kind of the questions of, like, you know, this huge wedding's happening, and how does everybody in Batman's life, like people that are going to be affected by this wedding, feel about it. And I think that's kind of fun. And the only way these villains can kind of like cope with the fact is they have to do something to like because this is upsetting their status quo. They've known their entire villain careers, and basically the gang of like Batman's family, the Bat family, is kind of like, whoa, guys, like, we're here to protect this couple, so do what you got to do, but you ain't getting through us. So it's kind of fun. I think it creates some buzz for the actual wedding, and that's what's getting me excited. I think it's, you know, this is all the life-defining stuff that's happening that's leading up to this wedding.
Detective Comics 982, this is Michael Morsi and Sebastian Flumara. The cursing of Gotham City, the abduction of a child by a mutant militant religious sect of Gotham's homeless, takes Batman into the city's darkest subterranean tunnels and into the upside-down world of the vicious spirit Deacon Blackfire. Garrett was telling us before the show, this little fill-in, Brian Hill is going to be the new writer taking over, but they're having a little in-between here, looks like. Alex, what do you think? Detective, I know for you, was a good band, and now we're past all that stuff where James Tinney went off of his big run on Detective Comics, and now we're here. Are you excited to see somebody else's take on this group of heroes?
I think part of it right now is actually I'm just excited to get a Deacon Blackfire issue. He actually showed up in Arkham Knight, and I had no idea who the hell that was. So just to see this character actually makes me pretty excited. As for the team taking over, it's always good to see a new team take a book and to see what story they want to tell, what is important to them as a storyteller. So I'm actually pretty amped to see where we're going to go. Unfortunately, I'm at least 8 issues behind, so have no fucking clue what's going on.
Seriously?
Dude, Garrett, when you have a life
wow,
that doesn't revolve around being single, and you got a kid, unfortunately, they kind of take precedence. So I am at least 70 issues behind.
Again, sorry, I'm devoted to a cause.
The Flash number 48, Joshua Williamson and Howard Porter, Flash War Part 2. Garrett, you said you've been enjoying Flash. It took a turn and came back, and now we're in Flash Wars, which is the big Flash event leading up to issue 50. What do we think, Flash Wars Part 2?
I'm excited going in. I think Part 1 was really fun. It's throwing so much, like, for if you're a Flash fan, and even if you're like haven't read anything of Flash besides all this Rebirth stuff, you're about to get a crap ton of fun mythology thrown your way, because it's basically Wally remembering everything that happened to him in his entire life, and it's kind of those same questions we have as Flash fans, like, well, spoilers, but if you haven't, I mean, you can go on Wiki and read Wally West's history, but you'd be like, where's his kids? What happened to his wife? What happened to Max Mercury? Like, there's all these things that you're like, they can't just, like, throw this away, and now they're bringing all this mythology back, and I am stoked. I'm so excited.
Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps number 46, Ryder Vendetti, Clayton Henry, Darkstar Rising Part 5. Garrett, how's this arc been so far? And also, we are leading to Vendetti's last issue is 50, so he's leading to his end. Do you think, is this arc necessary, or does it just feel like filler leading to the 50?
I think, I don't know. Like, I thought that the last arc was pretty good, and this one with the Dark Stars, like, I'm starting to figure out who they are, but it's kind of the same thing over and over again. It's the Dark Stars are trying to enforce their rule over the galaxy, and Green Lanterns are like, whoa, you got to do due process. And that's kind of been the theme of every single issue of this arc. So, I would like to see a different story in this issue, and I think the art looks amazing. So who knows? It's all up in the air, but so far I'm kind of at like a, not really that too excited, but I'm interested in seeing what's going to happen because it is getting close to the end.
Leads to issue 50. Go ahead, Al.
Well, I have to say one thing for at least Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps is that they're bringing characters that, as a reader of Hal Jordan, I don't know most of his characters. These Dark Stars, I don't know them. What were the other guys that were going up against the Guardians? The founders of the Intellect, or what were they? Anyway, I find that at least Green Lantern Corps, they're bringing in these characters that are maybe not as well known unless you are a big fan of it. So it gives a nice introduction to these characters, and it actually expands the DC universe enough to be like, there's other things than what the Justice League fights or what Even with the other Green Lanterns fight, there's something bigger out there, and it's nice.
Yeah, they haven't been around for a while. I mean, they're like an 80s, 90s villain, but I don't think I didn't see them in Geoff Johns' run from what I read of it. So, yeah, you're right. He is going back and like finding these villains and be like, oh, what if they came back? Let's redo that part of it. By the way, Hal Jordan and Green Lantern Corps only going to issue 50, and then the series is ending completely. Nobody else is taking it over. They're going to start doing a Green Lanterns book again. It's just going to be called Green Lantern. So, Hawkman number one is Robert Vendetti and Brian Hitch, spinning out the events of Dark Knight's Metal. Carter Hall returns to the DC Universe, an explorer of ancient and unknown. Hawkman finds himself embroiled in a long-standing mission to discover the true purpose of his many reincarnations. We talked about also in the segment where we talked about new books coming out this month. We would talk about this one. I believe all of us were not going to pick it up. Is that correct?
Correct.
But if you enjoy Hawkman, they've tried many times to bring this guy into his own series. Yeah, Vendetti jumping on this book. Yeah, Brian Hitch's art. So if you're interested in that, go ahead and check that out.
I think this is a book that if they had a different team, I'd be more apt to get it, but I don't care enough to get either of those people on this book.
I agree. Brian Hitch is kind of on my comic book blacklist. Like, I don't want anything that he draws the art for.
Mr. Miracle number 9, Tom King, Mitch Garratz. After war comes peace, the bloody battles that wage across New Genesis and Apocalypse have come to an end, and now Mr. Miracle and Calibax must sit down and discuss a truce. Can Scott Free trust the former minions of Darkseid to keep their word? Not likely, but a leader sometimes has to risk in service to the greater good. Perhaps the most pressing question, though, is whether Big Barda can make it through the negotiations without beating the life out of the assassin Kanto. Tom King series goes forward. It feels like the last issue came out a while ago. Am I thinking that wrong, Alex?
No, I think you're right. I think it's been almost 2 months since we've gotten our last issue.
So here we go. The next one here, 9 of 12. So we are going to see the end of that sometime this year, hopefully. But that's been good so far. We've been enjoying it. I think we can say for everybody here on the podcast, still going good. So pick that
Absolutely.
Up. I mean, you have to go back to number one. Don't pick it. Don't start now, but go back and read it. Plastic Man number one, the Gail Simone, Adriana Maleno, or Melo. Alex, I know you're getting this for the Gail Simone. I like the Plastic Man, but I'm not sure how much if I like him to get his own. Oh, it's a mini. I didn't know that.
It's only 6 issues.
Oh, well. Alex, what do you think? Gail Simone is a writer who used to be big into DC. She left for a while. She's now doing Domino over at Marvel, and this is her dip back into DC. We know you're in, right?
Oh, yeah. The weird thing is I was being apprehensive, going, oh, you know, maybe I'm strong enough to drop or to not even get this book. To be fair, I love Gail Simone. Her Batgirl from New 52 for the longest time was my number one book for 10, 15 issues. Then it had changed. I have to give props to her. That woman can write her own independent book. Crosswind, which I think is coming back eventually. She does Domino and Marvel. She's in DC. She did Red Sonja. You know what? She can write all over the board. So, yes, of course I'm in this book.
Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 23, Scott LaBelle and Ryan Wynn. Rage is my revenge. We got Red Hood on the cover here about to take out some people. Garrett, how's his book been? It's been 23 issues. Still going on a good run?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, biggest surprise, like I was always going to get this book, not expecting it to be something great. But the fact that it is, it just makes it that much better. Like, I think that Scott LaBelle has finally figured out how to tell this really great team book that I think he's been trying to tell for quite a while, because he tried in New 52 and now he's like mastered it here in Rebirth. This team just works really well together, and there's actual reasons why they're together, and the art's great and the story is just compelling and makes you want to read more. So this has been a big surprise for me, and I do love this series quite a bit.
Not a surprise, not caught up, but this is one of those books I actually like falling behind on, because when I do catch up, it is so good just to get that chunk of book. Probably top 5 best DC Rebirth books to come out.
Scooby Apocalypse number 26. This is Keith Giffen and J.M. DeManis and Rod Wagner. Andy Owens on art. With one of their own dead, the members of the Scooby gang wrestle with their grief, but there's a precious little time to mourn because a new threat is rising, one that might spell the end to the gang's hope of building a haven for survivors of the nanite plague. Garrett, two questions here. Is this still good? And what is with Scooby's vicious attack on those zombies? Like, is he a bloodhound now?
Okay, let's start with the first question. First question, is this still good? Yes. And I'm like kind of hesitant to read this issue because what happened in the last issue was so sad and so hard to read. Like, it was just like so intense. And I feel like this book is getting closer to an end and we're going to keep seeing more death of some of my favorite characters. But he eats, you know, that's all he can do to attack zombies. I guess he can claw them or bite off their arms. So in that case, you got to do what you got to do.
So when will is Scooby immune to the virus?
No.
Okay. That is all.
Sideways number five, Justin Jordan and Robert Gill. I mean, some things don't affect animals the same way they do humans, right?
That's true.
Yeah, but I would imagine,
If you're
the one biting, he's still going to get the blood in his mouth or get the nanites or whatever it is in his mouth. Odds are he's going to swallow some of it. It's going to be in his digestive system. I'm just saying, I'm assuming Scooby's going to get zombified.
Alex, at what point?
Couldn't read this book.
You're worrying about the logic of him contracting a virus rather than the logic of he can talk.
You know, the weird thing, that doesn't bother me.
Sideways number five, Justin Jordan, Robert Gill, and Kenneth Rockefeller just doing the cover, not doing the interiors this issue. After the devastating loss of one of the most important people in his life, Derek James tries to throw himself into being a hero sideways to distract himself. Unfortunately, new villain, the Showman, has arrived to tear those wounds right back open. Garrett, Alex, you caught up with this?
Nope.
Garrett, sideways number five, how's it going so far here? We have Justin Jordan still doing this arc. Dan Dio is totally off this now, it looks like.
I think it's gotten better with that fact, though. I mean, sorry, Dan DiDio, if you're listening to this, I doubt it. But I think that he's kind of like Scott Snyder. He's trying to make things too big picture, where I think Justin Jordan does a really good job of just fleshing out the actual moments that this character is going through. So it does feel like, you know, again, the parallel to Spider-Man is this character. But I think, you know, this book is so much about Derek and the people in his life that when the other threats like villains or things come up, you're still concerned for the character, not necessarily the superhero personage. So I do really enjoy this book. And the fact that Rockefeller is still doing the art until that book gets delayed, I think it's going to be amazing.
Isn't Rockefeller just doing the cover?
Yeah, he's just doing the cover of this issue.
No. Robert Gill. I guess this is the first one, so who knows?
I think I'd have to see what the inside of that looks like, because it's a book that I'm not caught up on, so it's obviously not a number one where it's like, man, I got to read this right away. So I'll look through it and see, but I might just be dropping it.
What are we going to talk about this week? So we have to catch up on it. You'll catch up on it.
No, we're not. Lies.
Also, Grant Morrison will be on this book soon, so that's why I'm still sticking on. Wildstorm Crate number 8 is Brian Hill, Stephen Harris, Dexter Vines, Constantine, and Diana Price promise Michael they can help free him from the alien consciousness growing inside of him. But in order to help him, Crane must keep them both alive, protecting them from his former team. As trailing arms aims war at them all, how far is Clay willing to go to rid himself of the things festering inside of his mind? And how will the alien inside Cray go to protect itself? What do you think, Garrett? We got Constantine and Diana Price. Prince, excuse me. I think it's the Price first time, too. Michael Cray, it's almost over. We're about 8 of 10, right?
Right.
What do you think about so far?
I think this is literally the best arc, I would say, so far. I mean, we've only had the one issue. But I think, you know, writing a Constantine in this way, don't know if I really care for the Wonder Woman aspect of it. I still think like that's kind of, you know, like Spider-Man 3. You don't need to have that many villains in a 2-issue arc. I think you got to do a lot of exposition that way. But I thought Brian Hill nailed Constantine, you know, like his representation. If he didn't have that line, that he wouldn't cross. Whereas Wonder Woman just kind of seems like a henchman in this case, but I am excited to see what happens in this issue.
Marvel Comics refreshing themselves. Speaking of which, Deadpool Assassins number one. This is Cullen Bunn and Mark Bagley. So another Deadpool book here. It looks like just a miniseries, I believe. So check that out if you like that movie. But Alex, what do you think, Cullen Bunn?
You know what? The only thing that got me is that you said Mark Bagley, and I was like, oh, that could be okay. But I can't trust Cullen Bunn, so it'll be a no.
Domino number three, Gail Simone and David Baldwin. Alex, you even caught up with the series?
No, I am one issue behind.
How's the first issue, though? Is it enough for you to keep reading this?
You know, it really is. A part of it is still kind of a blind buy. But Domino's one of those characters that I've actually always wanted to get into. It's just I never found anything worthwhile to read. Because she shows up from time to time. She's in Weapon X. She shows up sometimes in Deadpool. Or she shows up in an X-Men book from time to time. So it's kind of exciting. And I actually used to be one of those guys that I'd buy the girl books, like Harley Quinn. Or I would buy Domino. Or I'd buy Jean Grey. It's like, oh, I want to read this because I like these characters. I'm willing to keep getting this book. And I think it's only a 6-issue run. I think it's a mini. Yeah, it's so I'm willing to get the whole thing just to read it.
Hunt for Wolverine, Ant-Man Team Agenda number two, Tom Taylor, R.B. Silva. When the original New Avengers are joined by a new ally. Garrett, what do you think? Tom Taylor, your writer of the year 2017. He's doing a miniseries leading to the return of Wolverine. How's it been?
I loved issue one. I thought it was a great issue. It really kind of, it made me excited that Wolverine's coming back because, you know, it does kind of rely on Wolverine right before, you know, he does die. And it's him in his prime and all this fallback of like all the good things that he did as a hero before he died. Like that's what's happening in this kind of post Wolverine death era. And it's fun. And that cover is so badass where he's stabbing the Iron Man helmet. Tom Taylor, I think he gets the Wolverine character, and I think he does a good job writing the Avengers, too, that are looking for him.
Marvel 2-in-1 Annual number one. This is Chip Zdarsky and Declan Shelby. Hey, Declan Shelby, baby! The Thing and the Infamous Iron Man, unraveling the secrets of Secret War. There is one place in the multiverse where Victor Von Doom holds no sway. A spot where even Doom can be judged and tame. A place that houses the Council of Reeds. Come on, boy. Can Doom escape with his life in order to save Ben and Johnny? Okay. I usually on the forecast, I ask you guys what you think, but hold on a second here. We got Chip Zdarsky, Declan Shelby, which is one of my favorite artists. We got an annual, which means it's going to be bigger. We got Infamous Iron Man, which I've loved Doom. And then we have the Council of Reeds. This issue's for me, baby. This is everything I like. What do you think? I know, Alex, after the last issue of 2-in-1, we kind of, as a group, decided that maybe he didn't land, not the ending, but the end of that arc, I mean, that storyline. But it's kind of like a one-shot. These annuals usually are kind of like out of place. This sounds like it's just Dr. Doom going to the Council of Reeds. I mean, I don't know if that means anything to you, but that means something to me. As somebody coming in brand new, what does this issue mean to you?
You know, I think this is actually not necessarily an issue to jump on. It's something that maybe it is the best time to jump on. You're right. Issue 6 of 2-in-1 was honestly the weakest one we've read. This I'm actually pretty excited for. There's just characters from the Fantastic Four are having a meeting. That makes me excited, even if it's not a legit meeting. Whatever the Council of Reeds may be, there's a whole shitload of hands on this cover. So everybody's trying to get a piece of Doom, it looks like. I'm actually pretty excited for this issue. And you're right, annuals, one, they're bigger. Two, most of the time, they've just got a decent story. There are sometimes you get an annual where it's just kind of filler. I don't think Chip would do that. And I think the issue 6 was weak because I think someone else stuck their nose in it. And that was my problem with it.
If anybody has never read Hickman's Fantastic Four run, it really is worth it. And it is worth it for the Council of Reeds. So I would go back and read that if you are interested at all in Fantastic Four.
Wait, is the Council of Reeds already an established thing?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, from Hickman's run. They play a big role in that. So, Old Man Logan, number 41, Ed Brisson and Francisco Mana. Craven's Hunt for Logan.
It's a showdown on the Savage Land. Will Logan be able to outwit Kraven, Marvel's greatest hunter? And what's behind Kraven's obsession with killing Logan? Parental advisory. I know usually I go back and forth, and this would usually would have been for Garrett, but Alex, Kraven's in this book. I can't not ask you about this. Kraven and Wolverine, when that cover of Wolverine's right behind the tree, waiting for Kraven to come up with his little dagger. What do you think, Old Man Logan and Kraven together?
Now, obviously, I'm not caught up on my last two issues, but who gives a shit? I am super excited for this issue. One of my favorite superheroes, Wolverine, versus my all-time favorite villain of Spider-Man's. Cannot wait to see who finds who first and who wins. So, hands down, almost my pick of the week already.
Punisher number 226, Michael, excuse me, Matthew Rosenberg, Stefano Landini, Frank Castle versus Hydra Nation. Garrett, Punisher, you guys been saying it's great. We're going into, looks like a new arc here. Still going to be good? Still excited for this?
Yes.
How did 225 end? Was it good?
I think that it's kind of rolling into this next arc. I don't think there's a definite conclusion. Because last issue is more the Avengers fighting the Punisher. And I think, you know, there's something that happens at the end of the last issue that Hydra does get involved. So this book has blown my mind. I love the fact that Punisher's, like, he was dealing with a threat that was not, like, inside the United States. And now it's like he's back in the United States. All the Marvel villains are, like, on the plate. And Punisher has the ego of a freaking planet right now. See what I did there? And he does not, cool. Like, he is ready to take on everybody. Anybody that's bad, like, needs to watch out. Because if you're in the United States soil, Punisher's coming for you. And I'm so pumped.
By the way, this cover is awesome for Punisher 226. So, I'm excited for this issue. I'm excited to get caught up on it.
I'm only excited for this book because in the solicit they use bullet points and Baron Zemo is one of them.
Shield by Hickman. Shield number 6 by Jonathan Hickman and Dustin Weaver. Jonathan Hickman and Dustin Weaver's unfinished epic gets its conclusion. Jonathan Hickman and Dustin Weaver's unfinished epic of 2010 to 2011 finally gets a conclusion. The Brotherhood of the Shield is made of the likes of Da Vinci, Stark, Tesla, and Richards, but they're in trouble. Is somebody hammering in the background there? Sir Isaac Newton stands with his foot on the world's throat, and no one can stop him. The battle that decides our present is waged in the future. But waiting a long time for this sucker, 7 years. The last issue, number 5, came out 2 weeks ago. No, almost a month ago. 4 weeks ago. Garrett just got cut up, so as fresh as mine. I still got to reread this to get back into what it is. You know my memory. But Garrett just got back into this. What do you think, Garrett?
Well, I haven't read issue 5. That's literally next on my stack. But everything I've read up till this point has been amazing. And I know, like, yes, it just got all reprinted and everything, but it ended in 2011 or, like, got left off. So having just read this, it feels like just another monthly book to me. And I am excited because, you know, things are obviously coming to a head really quickly because this is the conclusion. I still have to read the second to last part. It's got some of my favorite inventors of all time in this story. I think this is such a fun book to read. I think everyone should go back and get all the issues. If you like, you know, if you like history, if you like mystery, if you like, I mean, this is just really intense science fiction, and it's really fun to read.
This is one of those books that I've read the first volume. It really boggled my mind because I was not expecting it to be what it is. I actually thought it was going to be S.H.I.E.L.D., the S.H.I.E.L.D. that I know of now, and not the S.H.I.E.L.D. from back then. You know what? This book was so good. I am excited for us to talk about the whole kit and caboodle this coming week.
Wow, Alex. I really, when you said you're going to catch up on this and we were going to talk about this book, I did not expect you to like this thing. And you like it. That's just a testament. And I've been saying it, I mean, back in the day when, this would have been the back in the day when me and Alex knew each other, but he wasn't reading comics, I don't think. 2011? What do you think?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, about then.
And before we met Garrett and Corey. And so, like, this was the thing that, like, I was, like, so into at that time. But, like, this wasn't something at the time I'd be like, hey, Garrett, I mean, not Garrett. Hey, Alex, this is your first comic, try it out. I think at that point, jeez, it's like, no, you're not going
to do that. No way.
But it's
this, like, if you think I'm serious now and that I don't have a sense of humor, which is not true, I really do. But I would not have enjoyed this book had I started out with this. Be like, this is what comic books are. This is shit. This isn't fun. Where now I can go into it and be like, you know, this was actually a really well-told story. The art was superb. The ideas of the characters and the historical choices that were made are excellent.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this book. Star Wars Darth Vader number 17, Charles Soule Alina Bonetta, as remnants of the Mon Cala resistance crumble into the seas, Vader and his Inquisitors finally confront the Jedi survivor at its core. The seas will weep. Garrett, how's Darth Vader?
This arc's not, it's been okay, but like Darth Vader and his like Sith apprentices, basically, they are going after like the Mon Cala Jedi faction that's helping them behind the scenes. And it's just not that good. Like they set up this huge mystery, like who's the guy in the hooded robe? And then like he reveals himself and it's just some rando. And I don't know. I'm just not really invested in this part. I'm just like, let's get to the next thing that actually like has relevance to the life of Darth Vader. So art's still great. Even though I can't tell from the solicit if he from Diamond, if Conan Coley's doing the art, or if it's that Elia Bonetti, but who knows? But I'm excited. I think this is the conclusion of the arc, so maybe the cliffhanger will get me excited for the next arc.
Thor number one, this is Jason Aaron and Michael Del Mundo, also Christian Ward helping out in art. Thor Odinson has regained his mantle, and with it, a wild new world of trouble on his mighty hands. This is the continuation of the Thor story, but also a good jumping on point if you want to start. Alex, what do you think? Thor knew he's back, and he has a hammer, not the hammer, but he has one.
You know, I'm excited to get this book. I'm a little disappointed that it's $6, but
for 40 freaking pages.
But I'm excited to be getting back into a Thor, and I'm kind of more excited that Odinson is taking over. Nothing against Jane. I thought Jane was actually a very good Thor, a good choice. And that whole arc of trying to find out who she was pretty exciting. What was it, Mighty Thor and the Gates of Valhalla? I wasted my money on that. But I am excited to get back into Thor and to see where Jason Aaron's taking us.
This also is the team that did, what's that book called?
Weird World.
I wouldn't say Westworld. That's the wrong thing. Weird World. And I remember we all enjoyed that. So I am looking forward to this. It has a good chance of being good. But like Alex said, $6 is, especially on this week, is a real hard pill to swallow. So,
especially for not being worth the cost of pages you're getting.
Venom number two, Donny Cates, Ryan Stegman. Rex part two from Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman. Long ago, a mythical monster once terrorized both humanity and the Clintar alike. Now it's awake and angry. I'm going to call it the surprise of 2018 for me. Garrett, it was something that we knew had a chance of being good with Donny Cates, right?
That's right, and it's exceeding expectations. I just looked at the preview, and holy crap, the art is so good. I bet the writing is going to be incredible as well. I'm really getting into Marvel's like horror line, basically. I mean, I don't think that they're trying to do this. I think that's just two writers trying to tell their own stories of certain characters, and it just happens to be horror. But I do love the horror aspect of some Marvel characters, and it's kind of fun to see these characters in a different point of view.
Nancy Drew number one, this is Kelly Thompson. This is Dynamite, by the way, no more Marvel. Dynamite Comics. Nancy Drew number one, Kelly Thompson, Jean Stain. I'm not sure your name. Nancy Drew is 17 and good at everything, especially solving crimes, but her totally in touch and obviously running perfectly smooth, but not really, life hits a snag when a mysterious message drags her back to the hometown she left behind. There she'll find out which of her friends are still her friends, which are enemies, and who exactly is trying to kill her, and hopefully stop them before they succeed. Alex, Kelly Thompson is somebody who we found out about via Hawkeye. It sounds like this is just Hawkeye without the Hawkeye. What do you think?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Kelly Thompson is another blind buy. I know of Nancy Drew, so I'm actually super amped to get this. Probably not nearly as excited as Garrett. I know Garrett loves Nancy Drew. He's her favorite. Or she's his favorite.
Tell me one mystery she hasn't solved. Exactly.
I think this book is going to be a surprise to many people because it's just like Nancy Drew, which, I mean, you're talking the three guys who are going to get Nancy Drew comic this week, because Kelly Thompson has proven that she can write this genre, she can write characters like this, and I feel, and I think I speak with everybody when I say that with Hawkeye, I think Alex just said, actually, that it's like a blind buy now. Like, it's Kelly Thompson. So we're going to get it. So here we go. Also, by the way, I think I missed something here. It's called By Night Number One. This is John Allison and Christine Larson. This is the Eisner Award-winning author from Giant Days and artist of Adventure Time. Join forces for a story about coming home, discovering an identity, and accidentally smashing a hole to another dimension. Aspiring documentarian and actual chemistry major, Jane has recently reunited with her former best friend, Heather, amateur urban explorer, but when a trip into an abandoned industrial building leads to another world, their plan begins to unfold. It create a documentary about the world, become filthy, filthy rich, and become filthy, filthy rich. The other side of the portal is filled with monsters, magic, and a chance for a whole new life. All that to do is step through. The reason why I bring this up is Giant Days is a great book. I never talk about it on the show because I don't read it monthly. I read it when it comes on Hoopla, the volumes. But I love that book. It's really great. It's just about some three girls in college. And I really do think if you're interested in stuff that's kind of that kind of he's a humorous writer. He's very good actually about that. And the characters are very real. So if you're interested in that, go there, get By Night Number One. Let's see here.
I just think it's tough though. I mean, this is like trying to put out a movie on like the same day as like a Star Wars movie and expect that will actually sell.
It's definitely a hard week, yes. But if I'm gonna I think some of these on these gems that are like hiding that are not as big and flashy as like the Marvel and DC books, like the Nancy Drew and this one, I think if those are like not in your interest at all, like the Marvel and DC, I think these ones are the ones you get. So, I mean, maybe not for people who get everything like us, but some other people. Mech Cadet Number 9. This is Greg Pak and Takeshi Miyazawa. I think that's how you say his name. Garrett, I know you're still holding true that you are going to catch up on this, but you're waiting for the issue. So we'll just say it's still great.
Yeah, work out. I mean, it's the second to last issue. There's only going to be 10 issues in the series. I wish it was going to be more than that, but glad that the team has a full story that they're wanting to tell and that they're going to accomplish it in these last two issues.
You know, not to be a Debbie Downer, but if you haven't read any part of the second volume here, how do you know it's actually good?
Because my concern is that
the first arc was amazing. Then they got reamped to go to the next one. But what if the second one really isn't that good? It's like, oh, we're on this high. Let's just keep writing this out. Get to the end of issue 10, you're like, holy crap, I just wasted $30 in garbage just because the first $30 was good.
Couldn't you say that about any comic, though, Alex?
I could say about a lot of things, not just comics.
Alex, let me know, what do you think, then, is going to be good this week?
Now, this is just me being biased, you know. No bias here. Old Man Logan, number 41, for the fantasy. Kraven the Hunter, cannot wait to see the man who's the best at what he does, and what he does is not very nice, versus the best hunter in the world. Bring it.
I'm going to say Nancy Drew, number one. I think that they picked one of the most perfect writers for this book. And I do love a book where it's surrounding somebody that actually solves mysteries. You know, it's like whenever I would read Sherlock Holmes or like Hardy Boys or, you know, even Nancy Drew and stuff like that, at least I always know I'm going to get an answer to a mystery instead of like, well, we'll pay this off in 6 years. It's like, no, I'll find out before the next arc starts. So very excited for that kind of, hopefully it's that going to be kind of concept. But I just think Kelly Thompson can really handle a character of this caliber, and it's going to be a fun ride.
Mine obviously is S.H.I.E.L.D. by Hickman and Weaver. I never thought I'd see this day. I like
it. Still might not come out tomorrow. Oh, I mean today. You don't know.
It
I think it's delayed another year.
there was a time in my life. I thought this was never coming out, so I made peace. I made peace with that. But here we are, and this day, it finally is going to hit the shelf. So I'm looking forward to that, and we'll see how that ends. You know, a lot of good books this week, especially that Weatherman looked interesting. But we do have our own Weatherman here, and let's kick to him. AP 18, how's the weather looking?
You know, the weather is going to be beautiful for the first half of the week, less than 80s. So be excited. You know what? You can bring out your sweatshirt for some people, because I know, you know what, they're going to be chilly. But if you're people like me, where you're hot when it's negative 30, you're going to love it. They actually called me, when I was up in Alaska, a walrus butt. It was a little offensive, but stayed warm all the time.
Alex, you said that some people are going to break out sweaters because they're chilly today. What about tomorrow?
You know what? They're going to be hot tamale the rest of this week. After Wednesday, it's going to be above 90s. So you get people sweating like pigs.
Garrett,
and here's the spoiler for you. Pigs don't sweat.
Garrett, that temperature range does some damage to the road, so how are we looking?
You know, funny that you bring that up. There's so many books coming out this week that there's two scenarios that could happen. On your way to your shop, you might be stuck in a pothole because the amount of cash you're carrying in your wallet's going to weigh you down. Or B, on your way back after you get your comics, there's going to be so much added weight to your car that'll be stuck in that pothole. So, for the love of God, just avoid all those potholes. You'll be fine otherwise.
Do you think maybe you'll cause a sinkhole?
If there's a crack in that road, you better go 80 over.
Hey, just like that, we're going 88 into the future, and I'm going to future. I'm seeing a lot of good books this week. I'm predicting it. It's going to be a nice week, a nice little surprises. You can get your Nancy Drew or By Night if you like those kind of books, or you can go Venom, Old Man Logan, or you could always try out S.H.I.E.L.D. and Marvel 2-in-1, or Detective Comics and Flash for your DC stuff. So, and also a lot of new Image Number 1. So if you're into the Image Number 1s, three of them, I think, come out this week, 3 to 4. Try them out. And a little bit of a little bit for everybody this week. Just like this podcast, so be sure to share it with everybody and let them know Marvin's here for them. My name is Marvin.
I've been Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone, stay comfy and keep reading those books.